Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 130 of Tatooine Sons. At a moment when many were speculating that Star Wars was basically dead, a science fiction author named Timothy Zahn gave life to a character who changed the galaxy forever. What is it about Thrawn that is so compelling? Before we talk about that, we'll talk Poles, Sims, the Grandmaster, and the Mandalorian.
I will start my operations here and pull the rebels apart piece by piece. They'll be the architects of their own destruction.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody was lit.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father. Share his love with the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel Hutt.
You all
a little too much coffee.
So, no, why I messed up on that, like, that one right before this was because I was messing with my volume slider. And then Dad just points to me, and I wasn't ready at all. So I'm just like,
so don't mess with your volume slider while we're recording.
Well, it was really loud, but...
Well, apparently.
Well, then I can't hear my voice enough. So
you have to. You like the sound of
go.
Your voice?
Go! Okay. Here's my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Jutta Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you might still be familiar with some of Timothy Zahn's work. Other works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came up with that one on the spot, can't you tell?
Yeah, definitely can tell.
It was really good.
He has
good
other books.
He has good other books?
He has good other books.
Have you what other have you
I've read Icarus on most of it.
And you enjoyed it?
I did. It was really good.
Timothy Zahn's a good author.
He was really good. But and of course you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Wow, he seems so enthused.
You didn't have coffee today.
I can try to say that faster if you need me to.
No, I can try.
It can be like the ending to like a medicine commercial. You know, like
the disclaimer.
I can make it like that if you want me to.
Yeah, no, we're good.
How's it going?
Fine.
Good. Kind of. I'm kind of chill this evening.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know.
Well,
it's like, church today.
Well, you told me to be enthusiastic.
I did. You were enthusiastic.
And then you're bringing down the mood.
I'm not.
Dad.
I'm just, come on, Dad.
I'm
stepping on our vibe.
I'm ready to talk about Thrawn. But before we do that, we got lots of other stuff to talk about. So
this is true.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Don't have school tomorrow. Don't have work tomorrow. Don't have tickets to Disney. We've been to Disney a lot.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
It's been hot.
It was hot.
It's going to be nice this winter, though. Because
like 3 months from now.
It's supposed to be chilly, sometimes showery. But just
which means it'll always be like 65 showery. Degrees and everybody will be in parkas and we'll be...
Parkas? Is it parkas or perka?
I'm pretty sure it's parka.
So well, you were wrong.
We'll agree to disagree.
You were wrong.
What have we been doing
there.
All Labor Day weekend? Just kind of chilling out, being a family. What have we been doing?
Oh, even watching. We've been binging the Cobra Kai series on Netflix.
What do you think about Cobra Kai, Sam? BB Nate?
Oh, me?
Yeah, I messed up.
Wow.
What do you think about it?
I like it. I really do enjoy it. It's fun. And it doesn't feel like a TV show. It feels like they just broke off a long movie in different sections, so that's always nice.
Yeah,
fair enough. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It feels bingeable.
Right. And it is. We binged one and a half seasons
like,
yesterday.
You can ask anyone in my family, and they'll tell you I'm not a huge fan of watching TV shows, especially in long sessions. But for some reason, I really enjoyed watching this show. It's funny. It's cool. It's
irreverent, which I learned that word days ago.
Yeah.
Now I know what it means. So I can use my big boy
words. And
and
that kind of stuff.
It's a lot of fun.
My shows.
Yeah. It's funny. I was at a mastermind group is what they call these things where you get like
you're 10, a mastermind
10 people together and you just like brains or like deal with people's problem as far as business or work or whatever. And That's cool. Like a group of people like wrap their heads around it and give advice. And anyway, the guy that put it together is an author, and he was talking about the last book that he authored got turned down by the publisher that actually wanted him to write it. He got turned down after he wrote it because they said the chapters were too short and nobody wants short chapters. And I was sitting there thinking, absolutely wrong for me. I like short chapters because then there's two reasons that I like short chapters. One of them is as a reader and one of them is someone who's done writing.
Okay.
As a reader, I like short chapters because...
They give you stopping spots?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I always feel like I can, I can read a chapter really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can, you know, 2-3 pages and I can get a bite size if I'm between things. Yep. or whatever. And since I read on Kindle and I use the Kindle app on my phone, mm-hmm. I always have it. I could be in line at Disney. I could be somewhere. I can read a chapter and we're good to go.
Yep.
So as a reader, I like that. All right. As a writer, I think it's actually more beneficial because in today's short attention span world, exactly what you described about Cobra Kai and why you don't like binge watching shows, but for some reason it doesn't feel like you're doing that the same way here, is because they're 28, 30 minute, you know, shows, short shows. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, that episode's done. You've gotten to a cliffhanger and you're like, well, I want to see what the next one's about. Mm-hmm. It's only 30 minutes. Let's watch one more episode. And that's what I think as a writer is actually better.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things we'll talk about it, I'm sure, a little more later. But one of the things about the Thrawn books that was tough to take is those chapters are some beefy.
Timothy Zahn writes a lot of beefy chapters.
Yes. Long.
Yeah.
No.
And it's nice.
30, 45 minutes to read.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'll be halfway through a chapter about to fall asleep. And I'm like, I don't want to stop here because I won't remember where I am. So I can see why I like shorter chapters would help with that too. Because then you can stop.
I don't use bookmarks, I use the end of the like chapter issue in my case if it's a comic. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm agree with you, I like shorter issues if I just want to be like, yeah, I can get one more in.
So you're talking about like reading these big massive,
these
omnibuses,
big massive ones, you know, yes, it's
15 pound books.
Yeah, I never use bookmarks just because I know where I relatively stopped and I can just go to the end of that issue. And so it's always nice to have shorter chapters as well as shorter issues so I can read those and then be like, yeah, I'll go sleep. So
yeah,
cool.
We should explain some of the changes that we've done with the show.
That would be good.
Those of you that watched the live video on Facebook on Tuesday evening from Ogus Cantina know a little bit more about this, but we made the decision after the Facebook series reached its completion. We had to make a decision internally as to whether or not we were going to continue to do our main show as a video show or audio. And one of the challenges that we ran into with the video show when we were doing Facebook Watch exclusively was that first of all, it took forever to edit and to produce those shows.
Like well over a week almost.
Yeah, I mean, it would take, well, I mean, that part of that had to do with getting it turned in and those types of things. But even just the planning, the recording, the editing, the production side of it.
It never felt like we stopped.
Well, especially for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a nonstop 3-4 days. Plus I was working, you know, and trying to have a life and all of this kind of stuff. And it just became a little bit overwhelming at times. That was a challenge. And then the second challenge is people that watched our show on Facebook didn't get a different experience than people. I mean, they could see it obviously, but they weren't getting a different
they had no reason to watch
experience on the podcast audio side, and people that listen to the audio side that prefer that wouldn't be getting a different experience on video. And so it didn't feel like we were offering anything of significant value for the amount of effort that we were putting in on the video side. And so we got to talking about that. We got to take a few weeks off, which we mentioned last week, and gave us a chance to sort of wrap our heads around what we wanted to do with the show. And one of the things we noticed is that our Star Wars Rebels series that we were going to start on YouTube, we got a few episodes.
We started-ish.
Yeah, we kind of got a few episodes. It was just hard to produce because we didn't have a space for it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the technology. We didn't have the space. We didn't have the recording equipment. Didn't have the video. Didn't have the lighting. All of that. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
To do when we got to do it. And, you know, some of the, like, on the YouTube side, we had, like, 35,000 views, 40,000 views on some of those videos. But we just didn't ever continue to get it going. So the idea that came back to us where, why don't we just let our audio podcast, what you're listening to right now, be the audio show and let it be this, you know, exactly what it is. And then, you know, we may do some things with some Facebook Live, like where you can see the recording and listen to it while we're recording it live right. on Facebook, which we've tried to do in the past. And we may go back to that and allow you guys a chance to interact. And I think we could have some fun with that. But let the audio podcast be the audio podcast. But then let's go back and let's really see if we can do the Star Wars Rebels series. So over the next few weeks, we're going to begin the process of really putting together the plan for how to relaunch that, start from scratch. We're going to go all the way back to season one, episode one, A yep. Spark of the Rebellion. We're going to do it all over again and have a lot of fun talking about something that we absolutely love. It's going to give us excuses for watching Star Wars Rebels. Like, we're going to be able to tell Mom, we have to watch this episode of Star Wars Rebels because we're recording.
and she won't mind it because she's watching her own show. So
no, right now she is. Good thing there's 13 seasons to that. She's already done with season two, I think, in a week and a half. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to go back and do that and talk about Star Wars Rebels. And I think it's going to become more and more relevant to Star Wars fandom as the future of Star Wars comes together. If we get a Star Wars Rebels sequel of some sort in animation, if we get a live action Ezra and Thrawn, which those are rumors that are out there. Obviously, Ahsoka, her story canonically last ended after Rebels, so there's a right. You know, her story is tied into Rebels significantly, and so I think we're gonna.
But we know that she is dead at the end of Rise of Skywalker, so because we have to figure out what's going on there.
So there's a lot of story. Thanks for being a thanks, Debbie Downer. All right,
I was just letting you know,
I was in a good mood, and now Ahsoka's dead.
I thought you said you were chill.
Well, I was chill, but I was in good mood. So all right, why don't we? All right, why don't we do this poll thing? We got a poll from last week. You guys did a great job voting on the poll.
What's a poll? We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, well, we did one last week, and it was a lot of fun, so let's talk about it. Maybe. It's not playing.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
Right, so now that we got our audio working again,
yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Last week's podcast poll of the week, you guys did a fantastic job. We had 413 votes.
Not too bad.
Good
Not
job.
Too shabby.
You guys did a fantastic job voting on that. So we always appreciate that. Which sequel trilogy Thanks, film Nate. Gave us the best version of Kylo Ren? Of course, we had three options: Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker. Before I read these, what do you guys think about the votes? Are you surprised by the percentage?
Obviously, they're correct. So
yes.
Well, of course, yeah. So Force Awakens got 24%. Last Jedi got 53.8%. And Rise of Skywalker got 22.3%. Honestly.
Last Jedi with a runaway.
Yeah. Are you guys surprised? I was a little surprised that that was getting as much love as it got.
No. Well, I am. I mean, I'm a little surprised. It's been not so liked movie. Everybody can see. So I was surprised that people enjoyed his character in that so much. But I was really happy to see it as well, because that means that some people liked at least something in The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think...
Yeah, no.
Stop it. I knew you were going to say
Yeah,
that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Force Awakens didn't give us much Kylo Ren at all, in a sense. I mean, it did, but not much of his character, like, conflict. As much as The Last Jedi.
Except for, talking to his dead grandfather.
You know what I mean.
You know.
Okay.
Killing his own father. Yeah, no character at all. He wasn't really in it. I was struggling to see whether or not he was actually even in the film.
Yeah, it was hard. I had to really pay attention.
All right, hold on. In the immortal words of Luke Skywalker.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Anyway, so are you good?
You know, I mean, the percentages on these movies are a lot like how I feel about the movies themselves.
That's
like how I rate them. I mean, Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker are really close. Okay. I both love the movies. Okay. They're just really close. But Last Jedi always wins by a landslide.
All right. That's fair.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
I didn't
know. Okay.
I wasn't either. I was a little nervous there for a second.
I don't like the movies. Are you saying that?
No, I'm not. Okay. Did you have any thoughts that you wanted to share before I was so rudely interrupted?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about what you guys thought about it. Paradox. This is a great spelling, by the way. At Paradox. Pair, as in like a pair of shoes or a pair of skates or something, which is A, and then docs, D-A-C-H-S. So that's how you spell paradox. P-A-R-A-D-A-C-H-S.
It's P-A-R-A-D-O-X.
That's not how he's... You're
looks like Paradax.
Paradox.
Yeah, anyway. Or like your Boston, like Paradax.
Yeah, it's a Paradax. You know what I'm saying. All right. In TFA, we see the... Oh, wait, sorry. In TFA, we see his brutality, but we're not... But we're let in on the fact that he still feels the call to the light. It's a struggle we haven't seen on screen. It's wonderful. And Adam Driver is a national treasure.
A lot of people really like Adam Driver.
Oh, he's a great actor.
Oh, I agree. It's just...
You like him without a shirt on.
No, those are my goals, okay? Okay.
Anyway.
Moving on. So this one's from Amy from the 256.
Amy from the 256. What's up, girl? All right, sorry.
You think you're good?
I'm good.
Okay. They commented, The Last Jedi, you see the conflict within him, that pesky pull to the light, and peaks of Ben Solo. The Last Jedi is superior. Kylo Ren, who... Oh, that is really worded, really. The Last Jedi is the superior Kylo Ren who really was an abused and manipulated child in a mask trying and failing to break free.
Okay. Good job, Sam.
Typos threw me off. I was like...
I like that Amy from 256.
This is the bearded underscore Jake.
That was a lot easier than the other two.
It is. Yeah. It is a lot easier. So, yeah, you know how to spell it. Hopefully. Rise of Skywalker, because it's a blend of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So it's the most dynamic, but ultimately it gave us Kylo's true self.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's a good assessment.
Yeah.
Thanks for voting, guys. Yeah. And thanks for sharing your thoughts and comments. Yes. And if you share your thoughts and comments on this week's poll, which we're getting ready to tell you what it is, and it'll, by the time you see this or listen to this podcast, it'll be pinned to our Twitter page, at Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, if you don't follow us on Twitter. But I don't know.
You should.
You probably are. Anyway, if you give us a good comment, you know, a well thought out, you know, argued.
If the grammar is all correct, that'd be great too.
Yeah, that helps. But anyway, if it's not something like, you know, yeah, Kylo Ren sucks or something like that, then we might actually read it on the show. It was good.
There we go.
We had lots of good comments this week. This one was actually hard to pick. This coming week, this poll is going to be, because we're talking about Thrawn, right? Which we mentioned at the beginning of the show. And we're going to talk about it.
Are we talking about Thrawn?
In a few minutes.
Yeah. Are we sure?
Oh, I was after not prepared for this.
Hot Takes is coming in a second.
Oh, really? We're still talking about Thrawn, though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I'm so lost.
Which Thrawn is your favorite? Legends, animation, or new canon novels? So we're all going to make an argument for one Thrawn or talk about them. But
what about the games?
What?
Is he in any games?
He is. Jedi Outcast? The old games that were just remade. Yeah, he was in those.
Really?
Interesting. All right, so anyway, which one of the Thrawns that you've experienced, since none of us have experienced Jedi Outcast, which is your favorite version?
I'd have to go with the novels, just because you get to see more sides of him.
Okay, what about you, Sam? BB&A?
The animation, of course, because that's the coolest version of him.
I would have said animation, but I like the novels, because you see more of his character.
I'm going to be honest with you guys, Thrawn's... freaking amazing.
You better not say Legends.
In the Legends
universe. Oh!
And I don't go down that path very often.
So I guess we're going all with our topics for our main topic.
It's amazing how it worked out that way.
Wow.
I didn't think that was the plan.
No, it wasn't. But hey, it works.
All right. So now characters in The Sims can visit Galaxy's Edge. The Grandmaster, he may be heading to Star Wars. And we finally gotten something official about The Mandalorian Season 2. That's all next on Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right. The Sims 4 Star Wars Journey to Batuu. I forgot I was going to have a clip.
I was wondering if you're going to catch that.
I didn't have that on there. I was going to do Droid Please. Droid Please!
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I've done that one so many times. That was my John Boyega impersonation.
We should send that in, see what he thinks.
Droid, please!
So, that one was
wasn't as good as the first
that
one.
That sounded like a bad voice-acted animation. Droid, please!
Yours was better. Okay. These are from YouTube.
Lisp and all.
Which, you know, droid, I'm going to put a link to the trailer for this Star Wars Journey to Batuu Sims thing, because I thought it was a lot of fun looking.
It was pretty cool.
And then a link to the StarWars.com. Announcement about it. But EA and Star Wars, they're partnering on an expansion for The Sims 4, taking your sim, you know, like your character.
I know what a sim is.
Have you guys ever played The Sims?
No.
Okay. Mom used to love this
game. I know.
Taking your sim to a galaxy far, far away. So, you know, there's lots of different things you're going to experience in it. You get to experience, you know, absolutely like going to Batuu and the edge of the galaxy, but it's in character. It's not like you're going to the park.
Right.
It's not like you're going to Disney World, Hollywood Studios.
Can you do that in Sims?
No.
I feel like you can.
I don't know. But anyway, this one is not you're going to
Disney, you know,
Disney World and Disney experiencing Land. Galaxy's Edge. You're literally going to Batuu as
right.
an in-character with it. You get to create your own Star Wars story. You're going to get to unite with characters, you know, like obviously
Rey,
Vi Marati, Stormtroopers, but Kylo Ren.
Hondo.
Hondo on there. You get to go to Savi's.
Yeah.
And build your own lightsaber.
Which is more than we can do right now.
Exactly. You get to go to the droid depot.
Which is pretty cool.
And create your own droid.
I wonder if I could build my droid in the game.
I'm sure you can.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
It looked pretty fun.
Yeah.
With it. You get to, and then things that you do on Batuu, the things you do on Batuu, are going to come back with you into your Sims character.
Yeah, you can like use them to build your house or customize your house and stuff like that.
So. You've both seen the trailer, right?
Yes.
And you've kind of got a little bit of a different perspective because you visited Galaxy's Edge so much in the last few months with it. What do you guys think about this expansion? I mean, again, you've never done Sims, but what do you think about
it? No, I think it looks like a lot of fun. Just from what I saw in the game, the map looks like a one-to-one replication of Galaxy's Edge. Right. Everything looks fine. They had a top-down view of it. Like, there's Ronto's, there's the Droid Depot, there's Savi's. It was a perfect match, which I loved. It looks like, okay, I think you mentioned this earlier when we were recording. You can't take it too seriously because you got to remember this is a Sims game.
Yeah, this is not, you know, trying to live on, it's not a role-playing game.
This isn't Battlefront 2 or anything. It's going to have its silly moments. But if you aren't able to go to Galaxy's Edge for some reason and you want to be able to experience what it would be like somewhat in a virtual way, this would be a great way to do it. It looks like a lot of fun. You can decide between you whether you want to be a rebel or work with the First Order or if you want to be a scoundrel, and that actually affects the world. Like, you'll see like banners and stuff being put up for the rebellion or whatever. You can build lightsabers and stuff. I think it looks like a lot of fun, and I've never played Sims, but it almost makes me want to get Sims 4 just to be able to try it out.
Interesting. We'll come back to that. BB Nate, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. It was interesting. How to put that in there, but I
have spoken.
I've never played Sims, so I don't know what to expect on it, but it just looked like a lot of fun, and I'm not expecting it to be serious. That's the great thing. So, and it's just, it seems weird to be kind of looking at it, not like actually being the person that's there, like looking at it from a third person view. It looks a little strange.
I can see where you're coming from.
But that's not a problem. And so apparently there's fights as well. I don't know how those are going to work.
Yeah, it looks like you'd like getting lightsaber duels or something.
So I don't know how that's going to work, but it just seems really cool. Like, just...
Yeah. Like a neat way to experience Galaxy's Edge without having to go to Galaxy's Edge.
And all
Edge.
The characters will be walking around, not on a platform.
So. That's true, yeah.
There will be no masks except for the Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren. Like,
there was an element of watching that trailer that I got a little jealous.
Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were able to do things and interact in there that I wasn't able to, and I go to Galaxy's Edge regularly. We were just there Tuesday night, so
come on, Disney, you're listening to this podcast. COVID, we know this.
COVID is there, so
yeah, it is.
You got to deal with it. So.
Yeah. I think we still have Mom's old Sims game for the
PS2.
Well,
it's not Sims 4 though.
No, I know, but I was just like
Sims
I was just thinking,
2, I think.
Yeah.
So we got to get Sims 4. How much is Sims 4? Do you guys have
any
idea?
I have no idea.
I don't have my phone, so I can't tell.
But I know the expansion for this is $20. So let's say it's like a $40 game, and then you've got an expansion for $20. Is it worth $60 to be able to experience Galaxy's Edge Sims?
I wouldn't if it were that much.
But what if
I had Sims 4 already and I played it regularly, yeah, for sure.
$20.
I would get the expansion. But if you're, you know, more of a Star Wars fan, not a huge game fan, I wouldn't go for it. Unless you, turns out you really like the Sims idea and play that a lot.
The fantastic thing is, for some reason, Sims 4 goes on sale constantly.
Really? What's the prices you've seen?
I've seen it down to like $5.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it down to 15. I've seen it. And
that's reasonable.
And the good thing is, PlayStation's always running a couple sales, different sales, like Essential Picks, Plays, like it's always there. So it might be on sale right now.
They should do a bundle where you can get it for like $30 or something.
Yeah, that would be
with
a good idea.
The expansion. So do you guys feel like this is sort of a poor man's version of that VR that they're supposed to be coming out with for Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah,
I don't want the VR to be like a Sims, though.
It doesn't seem like it's a Sims.
No, it seems like it's going to have a story to it. I think this is going to be more of a alternate world for your character to play in, kind of. It just happens to be Star Wars. I think the Tales from the Galaxy's Edge is going to have a hard story to it. Like, that's what it's there for. This is just a fun little Star Wars experience in Sims. So I don't think it'll replace it.
All right, so we're going to, like, really quick, for a very short period of time, delve into sort of whiny Star Wars fans.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So some of them are really flipping out, saying this is ridiculous, you know, bad. And
why am I not surprised?
Do this.
Why?
Do you feel like, I'm trying to figure out why anybody would be upset about people that love the game Sims. The Sims, mm-hmm. that love Star Wars, having an opportunity to experience this. Yeah, why would this be a problem for anybody?
Well, I guess it's because Sims is... I mean, honestly, Sims would be one of the last games I'd expect them to throw Star Wars into, but they made it work. I think it's just because it's such a weird game, and it's a unique style of game. You wouldn't think it would lend Star Wars to it.
But it works.
And they want to keep Star Wars as serious as possible, because most of the Star Wars games, especially in recent years, have been very serious. And then you throw it into a Sims game and it feels a little off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, The Sims 4 Star Wars Journey to Batuu releases on Tuesday, September 8th. And it's going to be available for Mac, PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and will cost you 20 galactic credits.
What's the conversion rate to US dollars?
I was going to say the same thing.
It's a one-to-one conversion rate right now.
Wow, that's convenient. Okay. That's good.
Is Jeff Goldblum hinting at a Star Wars appearance?
I like this guy.
This is from a couple different sources. Insider.com, Inverse.com. So Insider was interviewing Goldblum about, obviously, Jurassic World Dominion, which he's going to be in there with Sam Neill and Laura Dern, 2021. Okay. Anyway, I'll talk about it. They asked him if he'd ever want to be in the Mandalorian. I think that the way that it kind of went was he's obviously acted with Laura Dern. She plays Holdo. Mm-hmm. He's been in Thor, and he's going to be in Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. I don't know. Maybe he won't be in it. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. With directed by Taika Waititi.
Is he dead in the MCU?
I don't know. Anyway, and then Taika Waititi, you've got directing, you know, having directed The Mandalorian and some stuff like that. So the question kind of came around, dude, would you like to be in The Mandalorian?
Mm-hmm.
Goldblum responded, we've talked about doing something else that has to be secret right now, but I would do anything with him. Sure. Now, him is presumably Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. BB Nate, how would you feel about Goldblum coming to Star Wars?
He's a little bit of a strange guy.
You know, some people have suggested that I remind them of him when it comes to the show. So,
I see parts of it, but you're not as
I can see it, because sometimes when you're telling a story, you go down rabbit trails to explain what you're telling about the story, and then it takes you like a good 20 minutes to actually get the story that you were talking about and finish it. And that kind of happens in the show a little bit as well. So
kind of like what's happening right now with you. Okay, yeah. So continue on. Do you think Jeff Goldblum would be a good character in Star Wars, a good actor in Star Wars?
Yes. I think that if...
Yes. Mickey Mouse over here.
But if he does it right, then I think it would be really good. I think that if Taika Waititi was directing him, I feel like it could work well. But just don't make it the Collector from the MCU, but put into Star Wars.
Right.
He's not the Collector. That was DJ. That was
That's right. He's the Grandmaster's brother.
The Grandmaster.
He's the brother. So
yeah, no, I think he would be a lot of fun. He's a very unique actor, and he would lend himself to a really unique character in Star Wars. As to what that could be, I'm not sure. I would say he plays like one type of character, but his character in Jurassic Park and his character in Ragnarok were two totally different. Styles. So I think he could play a really interesting character that could go either good guy or bad guy, that would bring some probably much needed comedic relief in a fairly heavy show if it were The Mandalorian.
I hate if they chose him for a live action Thrawn.
Oh, I don't think
they wouldn't do that.
I don't think that they would, but it just hit me. I'm like,
Yeah, that would not work.
No, that's not gonna happen. You know, you guys do realize that Jeff Goldblum is sci-fi like royalty.
What do you mean?
Really?
Like one of the most iconic characters.
What else has he been in?
He was this doctor in The Fly in the 80s in this sci-fi horror film.
Okay.
And he becomes the fly and stuff. And he was like, that's how he got like launched to stardom.
I thought it was Jurassic Park and stuff.
No, he was in that after that.
Right. Okay.
With it. So
Interesting.
I'd love to see Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
In this, I think he would be a great secondary character. Don't make him a primary character. Let him have some fun.
One or two episodes
with
maybe.
That's one of the fun things about Thor Ragnarok. Was that he came in there and he did something very unique that was his personality. Mm-hmm. You could do something similar to that if he's, you know, it just always depends on the storyline and the character and such. But yep. I'd love to see him in some Star Wars. It is important to remember that Taika Waititi isn't directing any episodes of season two of The Mandalorian. Waititi, though, is reportedly developing his Star Wars film. And then Jurassic World Dominion is slated to be released in June of 2021. But as the wise Master Yoda and 2020 have taught us, always in motion.
Oh, Yifei.
The future is. So, all right. Last one of our hot takes. The Mandalorian Season 2 finally has a release date.
Can we get a trailer, though?
This is the way.
Sorry.
No trailers.
I want a trailer.
Get a trailer.
All right, so here's the deal. We got a couple
stories. Just got to wait for the show to drop.
All right, can we talk? All right?
No.
Maybe on the show. Anyway, StarWars.com. And then I found an editorial from Rotten Tomatoes that had some good source of information. So those links will be on the show notes here. StarWars.com has announced that episode one of season two of The Mandalorian will premiere October 30th on Disney Plus.
I have spoken.
We've still yet to see a trailer for the season, like you guys just said, but this might be a good time for a refresher on what we know. Are you guys ready for this?
Ready.
All right, crash course.
Who's returning? We got Din Djarin, played by Pedro Pascal, the child, mm-hmm. Played by Baby Yoda. You see?
That was good.
That was good. Cara Dune, played by Gina Carano. Greef Karga, played by... Karga? That was supposed to be Carl Weathers.
Greef Karga playing himself. They flew him in.
But no, from... it's not him because it's actually written with a C for Karga. So I was writing Carl Weathers and I finished it with just Karga. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
And then, of course, Moff Gideon, played by Giancarlo Esposito, who is not returning. IG-11.
He died.
Played by Taika Waititi because he's dead. And one that we don't know what happened to, but it is just assumed he's not coming back, is the client, played by Werner Herzog.
I
thought it was Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog. It is unclear about Fennec Shan, played by Ming-Na Wen, because it's pretty well accepted.
Oh, wait.
That
we also know who's coming. Oh, wait. Never mind.
So.
Never mind. I'm not paying any attention. Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey.
Yeah. Anyway, who's joining them? Timothy Oliphant, potentially playing a character Cobb Vanth. We know he's coming. We just don't know what he's playing. But Cobb Vanth is what's being suggested is the most likely. Katie Sackhoff is going to be reprising her role as Bo-Katan, but this time as a live-action version of Bo-Katan. Tamara Morrison will be coming back, and lots of different rumors as to what he's playing. Most have accepted it's Boba Fett, but he could be playing Rex as well. He could be playing
That was close.
Or he could be playing any of them.
Sure. He could play all three if he wanted.
And then, of course, Rosario Dawson playing Ahsoka Tano. On that, do you guys think that if we do get a trailer, that we'll see any of those characters in that trailer?
I think they'll throw one at the end just to get the hype going, and that'll be it.
But what would it be? What would be the big thing?
I mean,
what would be the thing that would get everybody talking?
It would either be Boba Fett or Ahsoka, because those are both two really fan-loved characters.
But so is Bo-Katan.
Right, but Ahsoka and Boba Fett are... more well known and more loved, I think, than Bo-Katan. I mean, Bo-Katan's cool, but it's not Ahsoka or Boba Fett. So you throw one of those at the end, and internet's going to explode.
Anytime you're dealing with mainstream marketing, you're not going to try to generate. We're like September 7th, 8th right now.
Yeah.
We're a month and a half from this thing coming out. Yeah. They're going to have like. One big trailer, if they do any, which I think they will, one big trailer and then a bunch of TV spots, right, that they're going to put out there. And that big trailer is the one that's going to get everybody talking about the show. You don't put a live action Bo-Katan where people are going to be going, who's that?
Right.
That aren't mainstream, you know, like super Star Wars fans like us. If they're just mainstream Mandalorian fans, like Jordan Bean, you know, he's going to see that. If he saw Bo-Katan, he might be like, it's okay. But if he sees Boba Fett.
Yeah.
If he sees Ahsoka.
Yeah.
then he's going to lose his mind. And that's the way it is with Star Wars, like mainstream fans with that. So I think that's important. I thought this was interesting. Directors that are going to be this season. We've got, of course, Rick Famuyiwa. I can't ever get that name out.
Famuyiwa.
I always feel horrible about that. But anyway, Rick.
We're not culturally insensitive. We're just American.
Just American, yeah. You know, they say that if you can speak three languages, you're trilingual. If you can speak two languages, you're bilingual.
If you speak one language, you're American.
Yeah, that's it. Bryce Dallas Howard, so Ronnie's daughter's going to play direct again, which I'm excited about. Dave Filoni. He's only doing one episode this time. Peyton Reed.
Okay.
Did Ant-Man and Ant-Man and Wasp. I forgot about that guy coming back. I think I remember reading that. Robert Rodriguez did Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of those Mexican, like, shoot 'em up movies.
Interesting.
That was out there. Carl Weathers is going to direct an episode.
Okay.
Grief Karga is going to direct something.
Really?
Just going to be a boxing.
That's right. It's going to be the Mandalorian as the box or something.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone. Hey, you know Apollo. I've got this.
Marvel.
Who was it?
Sylvester Stallone was in Marvel for a little bit, too.
Was it Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yes. Yeah.
And 1.
Was he in 1?
I think so.
Anyway. And then John Favreau is going to direct an episode this year.
Good job, John.
Hey.
He did good on Iron Man, so.
Yeah, I think. Here's my bet. If John Favreau will be directing a Boba Fett, the Boba Fett episode, because that's like way old school, and you know that he talks about playing with Boba Fett. Like,
right.
That's his character. And then Dave Filoni will do the Ahsoka episode.
I think that would be appropriate.
Ahsoka,
yeah.
With that. So, as with everything in Star Wars, rumor mill, even in fact, Timothy Zahn just recently said this himself. Changes can always happen, right, Matt Smith? I remember when he was like playing a young Palpatine or playing Thrawn in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen, did it?
The Doctor Who guy, right?
Yeah. So, until we see a trailer, we should tread very carefully. All right, main topic. It's kind of hard to believe that a character who's been around for nearly 3 decades and is widely known and recognized by nearly all Star Wars fans has never appeared in live action. But that's the brilliance of Timothy Zahn's character building when it comes to Grand Admiral Thrawn. And dare we say that he's not only a great villain, he could be a better villain than Vader or Palpatine?
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Force is with me, and I am with the Force.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
All right, so as we do every week, let's get your initial Thrawn thoughts. Let's start with you, Sam.
So, like, my favorite, like, characters in Star Wars go Boba Fett, and then it's a tie between Vader and Thrawn for
really?
Me.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love Vader. I think he's cool because of the comics. But then Thrawn is just, he's cool. Like, the Moriarty slash Sherlock of the Star Wars universe. And I love that character in movies and stuff too, the Sherlock Holmes character. So it's really neat to see that character put into Star Wars, but with a fresh spin on it to an extent. You know, he uses art and stuff to understand his enemies. I really, really like the character of Thrawn. And then reading the interview with Timothy Zahn, he's pretty brilliant too. So it lends himself that he'd come up with this type of character.
Yeah, that was a really good interview. I'll throw that into the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. So you guys can check it out on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on, it should be there. What do you think about Thrawn, BB Nate?
He is such a cool character, especially in the animation. He sometimes loses his cool towards the end with the Bendu in season three. Yes, at the end of season 3. But then he accepts the defeat and learns from it. And so I've always liked how he isn't like, this defeat's going to tear me down. I've lost everything. He's like, no, okay, it was one small loss, and then I can win.
It was a
very many
loss,
more.
But that's okay.
And that's what he would think it was a small one.
Okay,
yeah. But he's just a really cool character. I mean, he's not in my favorite, but I just find him to be a cool character.
I remember, I think it was 2016 at Star Wars Celebration in That was London. We weren't there. But
really?
Yeah, no. This was like when I started getting into Star Wars Celebration stuff.
Yeah.
I was starting to listen to podcasts, some Collider stuff, and Coffee with Kenobi. Those two I listened to a lot. And they announced that Thrawn was coming to Rebels. This is when you guys were started to really get into Star Wars. We started watching Rebels. This was another one. You know, we've always talked about Maul as being one of the main reasons we went back and watched Clone Wars, and we were watching Rebels and stuff. But for me, getting into Rebels was a big deal because of Thrawn. And I loved the idea of this character that isn't superpowered. You know, the bad guys in Star Wars are superpowered.
Yeah, Force and Maul, Dark Side and all that. Yeah,
Dooku.
It's the whole brains versus brawn.
Yeah, he's Superman versus Batman, Nate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Jedi are the Superman characters on it. And of course they're going to win, right? They got all these superpowers and stuff. And then you've got Batman that's just... Why do you love Batman?
Well, because he doesn't have power. That's why I love him, because...
And he still holds his own.
And sometimes he even defeats Superman, right? Because he's just so smart. And it's just... Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I love Thrawn, is because Thrawn is this overwhelmingly... powerful bad guy that is scary. He's intimidating. When they showed that trailer at Star Wars Celebration 2016, and it ends with them revealing Thrawn, and then they talk about Thrawn novel coming out and all of this, I was just like, holy crap, this guy's coming back, and I get to experience Thrawn all over again.
Because read The Heir to the Empire.
In my gap, that period of time between the end of Return of the Jedi and the release of The Phantom Menace, my only real experience with Star Wars was the Heir to the Empire trilogy, the Thrawn trilogy. And I loved it. Read it, listened to the audio versions. I loved it. So, really?
Was the voice in the audio versions for Thrawn similar?
I don't think so. I don't remember. I mean, my gosh, that was 30 years ago, Nate.
But they got the right guy. He nailed the voice for Thrawn in Rebels, I think.
It feels right.
Yeah.
But it may just be because that's what we got.
I guess.
With it. And Lars Mikkelsen is an amazing actor.
He was in Sherlock, too, wasn't he?
He plays, one of the bad guys in Sherlock.
It's interesting.
So, it's good.
Anyway, he's terrifying. All right. So let's talk about this. My version, we're going to talk about three different versions of Thrawn, obviously Legends Thrawn, and then Rebels Thrawn and the new canon novels. And I think that you can probably, if you're listening to this, figure out who's going to talk about what based on the poll earlier, which we hope you guys vote in, comment on, as well as what we've already said. We kind of are gravitating towards that with it. Here's why I love Legends.
Oh, you're going first.
Yeah, I'm going first. That's what it said in the
notes. Well, I know, but I'm just... addressing that for them.
The reason I love Legends Thrawn was because, from my perspective, he's more terrifying, more dangerous than Vader or Palpatine, because Vader and Palpatine are constantly relying on the dark side to prop up their weaknesses. And Thrawn, honestly, doesn't have any weaknesses. He's brilliant. He's always thinking multiple steps ahead. He comes up with some crazy stuff. I mean, yes, you've got this moment. Hold on. You got this moment where he brings in the lizards, whatever those things are, that in the Legends universe, in the Legends universe, those actually like repressed the force abilities of other people. But not only does he have that ability, he's learned that, he's seen that that's a possibility, and he's got those ready for him. But he does this crazy stuff, like when they're taking on Coruscant, he's like pretending to bombard them with cloaked meteors.
Yeah,
and
but he launches
like seven or eight, and then they're like, there's more coming, and they're all trying to figure out where they're coming from. That's the kind of stuff he does. He outsmarts everybody in those, and it was so much fun to see Thrawn interacting with Han and with Leia and with Luke.
Yeah.
And so you've got this baddie actually interacting with our big three and Chewbacca and all of this. He's my favorite. So who's next?
That would be Nate.
Go.
So I'm going to be talking about, if you didn't already guess, the animated version of Thrawn, because Rebels is awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. With my lisp and all. I just really love the character of Thrawn, especially in the animated. I read the Thrawn comics, and I listened to Thrawn Alliances with you on a drive. And I never really got into the novels version of Thrawn. It wasn't me. And that's fine. But I really enjoyed the animated version because of just how he was always one step ahead of these rebels. And there was one problem, though. There was one weakness that Thrawn had throughout the series of Rebels that he underestimated the rebels' power and intelligence and how they were
going to... Explain what you mean, because you say he's one step ahead of them, but then he's underestimating them. So help me
understand. Well, I mean,
what is he underestimating?
He's underestimating their, I guess, kindness?
Commitment?
Commitment and kindness and loyalty to the cause and everything. A lot like Thrawn is to the Chiss, but he's always one step ahead of them in battles, but he never expects the rebels to sacrifice one of their own.
That's good.
And that's when he loses.
Well, they sacrifice themselves. They're constantly willing to sacrifice themselves in order to advance the rebel cause. This is a really good point you're making, BB Nate, because you know, this ties back to what we learned a little bit about him in the novels. He's got an ulterior motive constantly.
Oh, for sure.
As Thrawn. And it's about defending his people. It's defending his empire, the Chiss Ascendants. That's why he's doing what he's doing. He doesn't see that in the Empire, I don't think. I don't think we see him really have a ton of respect for the Empire as an entity, because he sees
it's just a means to an end.
Slimy, ambitious,
cocky,
weak-minded,
narrow-minded
people that he doesn't have a ton of respect for. I think he does end up respecting Anakin, or excuse me, Vader,
and the Emperor to an extent,
and the Emperor to an extent, but he doesn't respect the Empire. What he respects about, or learns to respect throughout the Rebels series, BB-8, is that the rebellion is as committed to their cause as he is to his.
Yep.
And they'll do anything to protect the rebellion, to advance the rebellion, just like he will do anything, including sacrifice himself to become stranded on a planet, which we'll talk about, in order to become part of the Empire.
Yep.
So that he can save the Chiss Ascendancy. And that has to happen in the novels. That moment at the beginning of the Thrawn novel, it's weird. Explain how that works with Thrawn, the second one, the Thrawn, it's Alliances.
Jeez, I don't remember. I really don't remember it super well. I read it, but I don't remember any.
Okay, so talk about Thrawn in the novels then.
Yeah,
well, okay,
talk about the novel Thrawn.
I mean, y'all talked about it a fair bit, but he's driven by his loyalty to his people. Originally, we think... what we learn in the first novel is that he was stranded and left for exile on this planet because he believed in something that the Chiss didn't approve of, which I think was preemptive strikes in this case.
There was a threat, I guess, that's coming.
Right, there was
them.
A threat, and he thought they had to strike first. Cobra Kai. They had to strike first.
And strike hard. And no mercy.
So. To avoid being obliterated, and the Chiss didn't believe in that, so they marooned him. But I guess we learn later that this was all a ploy for him to be able to join the Empire to get the resources he needs to be able to defend his people from this threat. We still have no idea what the threat is. We know it's from the unknown reasons. Oh, crap. What were those enemies that were brought in towards the end? They were from Grisk, yeah. Well, we think it might be them, but I don't think that's ever been really confirmed.
It's the Yuuzhan Vong. Oh, wait, that's Legends. Sorry.
Uh-huh. But again, he's driven by his loyalty to his people. Everything he does. The Empire is just a means to an end. He respects the Emperor, and he respects Vader and stuff, but he's just biding his time.
What do you think he thinks about Tarkin?
I think... I'm sure he brings it up. I think he respects Tarkin's intelligence, but he thinks he's a little bit too arrogant and confident in things.
What about Krennic?
Does he ever interact with Krennic?
Oh, yeah. The Three Treason novel. He's interacting with him constantly.
Have I read Treason?
You haven't. You need to read it.
Okay. No, yeah. I imagine he thinks he's a complete idiot the whole time.
He doesn't like Krennic at all.
I didn't think so. Because who would? He's an idiot in the shows, too. Nothing against the character. That's just his character. but again, everything he does is loyalty. And that, again, like what you said, he underestimates the rebels' commitment to their cause as well. As he's, since he's so committed to his cause, to the point where he's able to, or he's willing to possibly sacrifice himself to be, you know, killed by the Empire, but he eventually, it works out for him. He doesn't expect the rebels to be able to take such extreme measures to reach their goal.
I mean, in the last part, in the finale, when, I mean, Ezra's holding Thrawn down, you can just see complete shock on Thrawn's face of, why would you do this? And
he wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, the tactic that Ezra is using is a tactic of sacrifice.
Yep.
A total sacrifice. And I don't, and what's interesting, and this is what goes back to what you're talking about, BB Nate, and you bring it up as well, Sam, is that is Thrawn. Thrawn is willing to sacrifice everything for his cause. His cause isn't the Empire.
Right.
His cause is the Chiss. And so he's given up everything to become a member of the Empire, a leader in the Empire, in order to try to position himself to protect his people.
Right.
The Chiss.
He's playing chess.
He just doesn't believe that that's... He's playing chess with the Chiss. I'm confused. He doesn't believe that the rebellion in Ezra is going to do that. And Ezra gives up everything, willing to sacrifice himself. One of the greatest moments in Star Wars history, the Purgles and all that fun stuff come back. And it's like, oh, my God, that whole throwaway episode is like critical to the survival of Ezra.
We weren't expecting it either.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
can we just stop the show and go watch an episode of Rebels?
So, okay. So I was also thinking about the ending of Rebels. And I know this is going to kind of go into the weird territory that doesn't really have to deal with Thrawn, but it's a finale. It's never been confirmed that Ezra is still alive.
Yeah, but it's never been confirmed that he's dead either.
But it
he's was confirmed. With Thrawn.
It is confirmed, though, that he is alive recently because of Rise of Skywalker. We would have heard his voice. We heard Kanan's.
Well, potentially.
There were a lot of Jedi there.
He wasn't, you know, we don't know where his he ranks on the Jedi spirit.
Well, he did a very selfless act.
He did. But here's the point. Here's the point. Okay. Ezra and Thrawn are together. And Ahsoka shows up to get Sabine for Sabine to go find Ezra.
Right.
And that's what all these rumors about an Ezra Thrawn live action series comes from.
Of course, maybe, I wouldn't mind it.
You think maybe this whole thing was a point, was like planned by Thrawn? Like literally that whole end was on purpose so that way he could help get out of the Empire, fake his death, get the resources he still needs to be able to defend his people. Like, do you think he had that whole thing planned
out? Now he
out.
Has a whole, his own Star Destroyer with him.
And an army of space whales. Like,
and a Jedi.
Right. Do you think that that was all
so
like...
So if we do have a live action Ezra and Thrawn, is it going to be Ezra helping Thrawn save the Chiss?
Jeez. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm just kind of hoping for it.
I just like started like to get really excited because I really want to see Ezra help Thrawn beat the Chiss. I mean, not beat...
Beat the Grisk or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to remind you, Sam, Thrawn alliances goes back and forth in the timeline. And so
I remember alliances.
We see
does.
Alliances with Anakin and Padme, and he's a Chiss. Thrawn is a Chiss leader.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And then after that, we're seeing him with Vader, or it's going back with him with
right.
Vader and the Grisk and all of that. So what I was referring to earlier was there's a period that happens between Thrawn, the Thrawn novel. And the Anakin connection in the second novel where all of that stuff happens, where he gets exiled and such. And so he's a fun character, guys. And the part that makes him fun is that he doesn't really seem like a bad guy.
He's really not. he's an antagonist, not a bad guy.
And that kind of brings me to the you know, dad moment.
I am your father.
The most interesting thing about Thrawn is that he is a person of great integrity. He's loyal. He's respectful. He's committed to his cause, and yet he's on the opposite side of the galactic history. Why has been teased, but never fully explained. He did seek out the Emperor. He's used it for his purpose to protect his people. The Chiss Thrawn. Excuse me, I completely misread
that. I knew you were going to do that.
I did.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah, anyway, so what I was meaning was he sought out the Emperor and has used it for his purpose, to protect his people, the Chiss.
There you go.
Yeah, good,
I put the
good
emphasis
on
the wrong syllable. There we go. And Thrawn shows us that good and evil aren't always so clear. And next week, we're going to go way off the map.
Yeah.
And talk about Dryden Voss, a character we really haven't talked much about on this show.
He doesn't get talked about much at all.
So I think he's a great villain.
I agree.
And we're going to talk about that. And we may talk a little bit about what he was going to be before the previous actor could not come back for reshoots after Lord Miller.
I remember that was the thing, but I don't remember
what. That'll be a lot of fun. So, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Who's got the first one?
That would be me.
Who
talks
first? You talk first? I talk first? You talk first?
We got our first glimpse at High Republic Yoda, or like the concept art for High Republic Yoda.
He looks exactly the same as he does.
He looks a bit different for me, like a weird middle-aged Yoda, and I'm not sure I like it.
His face doesn't look any different. His robes don't look any different. He just has better posture.
Yes.
Well, he's got yellow robes, and he's a little less wrinkly. It's like a 60-year-old Yoda, like, you know, in human years. It's a little weird.
I hope he goes through a midlife crisis.
You want to see Yoda go through a midlife crisis?
Yoda go through
at 600 years old. All right. Getting a, you know, space Ferrari. Okay. You can try out the wildly hard Dragon Kong Star Wars trivia qualifying quiz.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And what if I qualify?
Then
you're going to Dragon Con.
If you qualify, then you've been holding back on me on your Star Wars stuff. So,
yeah, that's gonna be fun. All right. So there was a new Black Spire Outpost edition of Galaxies of Adventure that features Turbis the Porg.
Well, you mean say he's Turbis the Porg?
Well, but it's most likely is, but yeah, it is literally the main character is just a pork.
Are we ever gonna
and it's
get
with
to the
Chewie
point?
And they leave the Falcon together?
Yes.
Do you think we'll ever get a Turbis the Porg, you know, sighting for something else, anything else that's going
no.
on?
No.
You don't think so?
They've probably completely forgotten that ever happened.
Because we haven't been bugging them. Dad got to bug them.
Hey, we got them canonized. We've got the comic up on the wall. It's enough. Right? We need to be happy with it. I mean, sure, I'd love to see him in more stuff. Like, I wouldn't mind if they slapped him on everything. But it's not going to happen.
He was pretty cool, though.
He was really
officially
cool.
Canon.
Yes.
So,
we'll just keep using our headcanon to put them in things.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you kindly to please give us a review on iTunes and still not Spotify because Dad keeps forgetting to remove it. But you can also do it on Google Podcasts or any podcatcher that you use, most podcatchers except for Spotify. You can also give us a review on Facebook. Apparently that's a thing. I haven't done it before, but people have. So you can give us a review on Facebook on our Facebook page.
At Tatooine Sons. Just search Tatooine Sons.
S-O-N-S. Yeah, and you can just please get this review because it helps people find the show. And if they find the show through your review and it's positive and good, then they might want to listen to the show. Because
and we'll read your review on the air if you give us one.
If it's yes. like
here's what I'll ask you to do just to make sure we don't miss it. No matter which podcatcher you put it on. Do the review, then screenshot it, and then tag us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. Just put that up there, and then we'll see it. And we'll
what
make
if
sure
they
we
don't
it.
Have Twitter?
Then Facebook.
Then Twitter at any
email.
Point. Yeah. So
Pigeon Carrier.
We don't have Twitter.
Turbis Carrier. So.
Turbis Carrier. Why isn't that a thing?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, because Nathan was being nice, so I've got to balance it. I'm going to tell you to just follow us on Facebook. And,
I have spoken.
Sorry, I can't do it. I'm not. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, all at Tatooine Sons. And then join our discussion group on Facebook. It's a Tatooine Sons discussion group. And there's, you know, it's cool because you'll be able to see new opportunities when they come up. You'll be able to possibly see some behind the scenes stuff. You get first dibs on things. And plus it allows you to help interact and shape the show. So we really appreciate it if you joined that discussion group and follow us on social media.
Yeah, and we're hoping maybe to do some live behind the scenes stuff that you guys can check out. We just got to make sure that we've got our audio dialed into the video the way that we want for live. And so it's a long story. Yeah, but we're working on it. So thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate the opportunity to do this show and that you guys would spend an hour a week geeking out about Star Wars with a couple of knuckleheads like us.
There's three.
There's three of us. The trio of knuckleheads.
Three stooges.
The like three musketeers.
The three stooges is probably more appropriate. We have a good time doing it. And I hope you guys have a good time listening. And if you do, please let your friends that listen to Star Wars. You know, my buddy Brandon Ramey, I work with him. He texted me last night. And he's like, what's the name of your show? And I was like, you suck. But anyway, no, I didn't say
Let's hope he isn't listening to this one.
Apparently he's not. He doesn't even know the name of our show is. But anyway, he's not a big Star Wars fan. But here's the point. He knew of a Star Wars fan that he was having a conversation with earlier that day. And that guy listens to podcasts. And he's like, have you listened to, you know, these guys talking about, you know, Star Wars, this kid and his kids and their dad. And they have like a porg thing. And they were,
they got a thing for porgs.
Yeah. And he's He's like, I don't know which one you're talking about. So he's asking him, sent the link. So
that's cool.
You're welcome to do that with all your friends. Yes. But if you're listening to this, you're probably a Star Wars fan. If you're listening to this and you're not a Star Wars fan, you're a Cobra Kai fan, and you thought that this was a Cobra Kai fan or podcast. Sorry. That wasn't what this is. So, all right. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.